Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
We celebrate International Blasphemy Day
with brave ex-Mormon turned atheist poster child Ray Matthews of Salt Lake City.
And Adrian Martin, a Texas mom and activist against book bans in public schools.
That's right, folks, and that'll be coming up after the latest headline news from provided by the United Nations and Democracy Now! It'll be up in about 15 to 20 minutes. Thank you for listening today.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. 2 months since the Black Sea Grain Initiative kicked into action to help release desperately needed grain and fertilizer from ports in Ukraine and Russia, confidence is returning among global distributors as exports ramp up, the UN said on Thursday. To date, the agreement between the UN, Turkey, Russia and Ukraine has allowed almost 240 vessels to leave Ukrainian ports with some 5.4 million tons of grain and other foodstuffs. Here's Dennis Malone, a UN representative at the Joint Coordination Center in Odessa.
What I'm seeing with the Black Sea Grain Initiative is an increase in confidence. Confidence in the shipping community, the commercial shipping community. We're seeing the price of shipping insurance reduce. We're seeing the quality of ships that are being used to come in to export the grain increasing. We're also seeing an increase in confidence in the local community, in the farming community. They're starting to see that their grain is being exported, that the silos are being emptied, and that they can start planning for future harvests.
One ship leaving Odessa earlier this week, the BC Vanessa, is the fourth humanitarian vessel to be chartered by the UN World Food Programme, WFP, out of Ukraine. Its precious cargo, 30,000 tons of wheat, is destined for Afghanistan to alleviate the desperate humanitarian emergency there. Other UN shipments taking part in the initiative have already delivered wheat to Ethiopia and Yemen. People in 42 different countries across the world faced reprisals and intimidation after cooperating with the United Nations on human rights. That's one of the disturbing findings of the annual report by the UN Secretary General on the issue. It details how victims of human rights violations, rights activists and journalists have suffered reprisals and intimidation by states and non-state actors. Abuses have included people being detained, targeted by restrictive legislation, and followed online and offline. All of the reported cases happened between May 2021 and April this year, and involved individuals and groups who cooperated with UN human rights mechanisms or used UN procedures to seek help for human rights violations. A bid to stop a malaria-carrying mosquito that's from outside Africa, taking an even greater hold in the east and west of the continent, is underway, supported by the UN Health Agency, it said on Thursday. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, the Anopheles stevensi mosquito is originally from South Asia and the Arabian Peninsula, but it's been spotted in increasing numbers in Djibouti, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia, and Nigeria. Unlike the other main mosquito vectors of malaria in Africa, it thrives in urban settings, the WHO said in a statement, which also noted that more than 40% of Africans now live in towns. WHO's approach involves increasing cooperation and mosquito surveillance across borders, and the UN agency has urged national health authorities to share any reported sightings. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Hi, listeners. This is Carl G. from the Abolitionist Hour on Radio Free Kansas. Every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll talk about prisons since the Fugitive Slave Act to the Attica Uprising to 2018 prison strike. Stay tuned for more information on strikes and rebellions wherever they occur. Only on the Abolitionist Hour on Radio Free Kansas. Every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. See you there.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The National Weather Service has issued hurricane advisories to more than 2.5 million coastal residents of Georgia and the Carolinas as Hurricane Ian gathers strength after carving a historic trail of devastation across Florida. Ian's expected to make landfall near Charleston, South Carolina today as a Category 1 storm. This comes as rescue teams and helicopters and boats are struggling to reach communities trapped by floodwaters. So far, at least 17 U.S. deaths have been attributed to Ian, but President Biden warned Thursday, the number is likely to rise dramatically.
This could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history. The numbers are still unclear, but we're hearing early reports of what may be substantial loss of life.
More than 2 million homes and businesses across Florida remain without power. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis said the storm caused biblical damage to Sanibel Island and tore homes to their concrete foundations in Fort Myers Beach. DeSantis called it a 1 in 500-year storm. NASA reports ocean temperatures off Florida's coast were up to 3 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than usual for this time of year, helping to fuel Ian's rapid intensification to near Category 5 strength ahead of its landfall. Ukraine's government says a Russian missile strike on a humanitarian convoy has left 23 people dead and more than 30 others wounded. Today's deadly attack in the city of Zaporizhia came as Russian President Vladimir Putin prepares to deliver a major address in Moscow, where he's expected to announce 4 Russian-occupied regions of Ukraine will join the Russian Federation. President Biden condemned voter referenda used by Russia to justify its annexation of the territories as an absolute sham, while UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called annexation a dangerous escalation that would jeopardize prospects for peace.
The UN Charter is clear. Any annexation of a state territory by another state resulting from the threat or use of force is a violation of the principles of the UN Charter and international law.
Sweden's Coast Guard said Thursday it's discovered a 4th leak in the Nord Stream pipelines built to carry Russian gas under the Baltic Sea, as NATO formally blamed sabotage for underwater explosions that led to Monday's rupture. NATO did not blame Russia for the attack, though leaders of several NATO member nations have blamed the Kremlin without citing evidence. Meanwhile, Russian officials suggested the U.S. or one of its allies is to blame. The disaster is now thought to be the largest fossil gas leak in history. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates it added 0.1% of estimated annual global methane emissions to the atmosphere. The U.S. Senate has approved legislation to supply Ukraine with $12.3 billion in additional aid, most of it to support Ukraine's military. It's part of a stopgap spending package needed to fund the U.S. government past midnight tonight. The House is expected to quickly approve the spending package, sending it to President Biden for a signature averting a government shutdown. Congress previously approved about $54 billion in military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. This comes as the Pentagon says it's preparing to open a new command base in Germany that will oversee a long-term training and assistance program for Ukraine's military. Senators approved the stopgap spending bill after West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin abandoned his own energy permitting proposal that would have fast-tracked federal review of permits for new energy projects, including the Mountain Valley frack gas pipeline. This week, the White House said it would continue to work with Senator Manchin to find a new vehicle to get his permitting reform legislation through Congress. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said in a statement, "The president supports Senator Manchin's plan because it's necessary for our energy security and to make more clean energy available to the American people," unquote. In Brazil, voters head to the polls Sunday for an election that could see far-right President Jair Bolsonaro replaced by former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Polls show Lula has a strong lead over Bolsonaro, but it remains unclear if he has enough support to win the 11-way race outright. If not, Brazil will hold a runoff election October 30th. Lula has been running on a platform to reduce inequality, preserve the Amazon rainforest, and protect Brazil's indigenous communities. There's widespread fear in Brazil that Bolsonaro could attempt to stage a coup if he loses the election. Earlier in the campaign, Bolsonaro said, quote, "Only God will remove me from power. The army is on our side. It's an army that doesn't accept corruption, doesn't accept fraud," he said. We'll go to Brazil after headlines. In Afghanistan, at least 19 people were killed and more than two dozen others injured today as a suicide bomber targeted an education center in the capital, Kabul. The blast struck a predominantly Shia Muslim neighborhood home to Kabul's minority Hazara community. Most of the dead and wounded are female high school graduates who are studying for a university entrance exam. This follows twin bombings at schools in the same neighborhood earlier this year and a 2021 blast that killed 85 people, most of them female students, while wounding 300 others. India's Supreme Court's ruled that all women can access abortion care up to 24 weeks of pregnancy, regardless of marital status. Thursday's ruling ends a disparity in the availability of abortions to single versus married women. The court also ruled for the first time in its history that marital rape should be included in the definition of rape if a woman wants to abort her child. However, India remains one of 36 countries where marital rape is not a crime. Meanwhile, LGBTQ groups say the court's ruling leaves out transgender, non-binary, and gender-diverse persons who deserve reproductive care and protection from sexual assault. A new poll finds public trust for the Supreme Court at an historic low. Less than half of U.S. adults polled by Gallup report they have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the Supreme Court. That's a 20% point drop from 2 years ago. This comes amidst fractures between the Supreme Court's conservative majority and liberal justices over whether the court's legitimacy has been damaged by recent rulings overturning decades of precedent. Justice Elena Kagan has repeatedly spoken out over the issue during the court's summer recess. Here she is speaking at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law on September 14th.
When we're talking about legitimacy of the court, it prevents people from thinking that it's all about politics. I mean, what if a new judge comes in, if there's new members of a court, and all of a sudden everything is up for grabs, all of a sudden very fundamental principles of law are being overthrown, are being replaced. Then people have a right to say, like, you know, what's going on there? It doesn't seem very law-like.
Justice Samuel Alito, who authored the Dobbs decision in June allowing states to once again ban abortions, told the Wall Street Journal this week, quote, "saying or implying that the court is becoming an illegitimate institution or questioning our integrity crosses an important line," he said. Chief Justice John Roberts has also criticized Justice Kagan's remarks. The House January 6th committee has interviewed far-right activist Ginni Thomas about her efforts to help Donald Trump overturn the 2020 election defeat to Joe Biden. On Thursday, Ginni Thomas spent more than four hours testifying to lawmakers behind closed doors on Capitol Hill. Committee Chair Benny Thompson said afterwards Thomas had repeated her false claims about a stolen election while denying she discussed her efforts to overturn Biden's win with her husband, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Justice Thomas is the only member of the court who dissented in the Supreme Court's 8-1 decision that led to the release of White House documents around January 6th. Justice Thomas refused to recuse himself in the case, leading many Democrats to call for his impeachment. The Biden administration has put student debt relief on hold for millions of borrowers after Republican attorneys general in six states filed suit in federal court seeking to block President Biden's debt cancellation program. In a court filing in a federal district court in Missouri, the states of Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, and South Carolina argue Biden's debt relief plan is unconstitutional, illegal. Last month, the White House said it would cancel as much as $20,000 per person in student debt to help as many as 40 million borrowers. The Education Department said Thursday people who've already begun to seek loan forgiveness will still receive it, while others will have to wait while legal challenges play out. At The Hague, a man accused of helping to finance and organize the 1994 Rwandan genocide has gone on trial at the International Criminal Court. Felicien Kabuga has pleaded not guilty to war crimes charges, including genocide and crimes against humanity. On Thursday, the UN prosecutor Rashid Rashid said Kabuga purchased machetes, grenades, and other weapons for a notorious Hutu paramilitary group known as the Interahamwe, whose members were the main perpetrators of the Rwandan genocide, which the UN says killed more than a million people in 100 days.
The charges against Kabuga reflects his status as a wealthy and well-connected political insider. In support of the genocide, Kabuga did not need to wield a rifle or a machete at a roadblock. Rather, he supplied weapons in bulk and facilitated the training that prepared the Interahamwe to use them.
And new research has found three people are killed every week while trying to protect their land from extractive industries. The report by Global Witness documents the murders of more than 1,700 environmental activists by mercenaries, hitmen, criminal gangs, or their own governments. Topping the list of the world's deadliest countries for environmental defenders last year was Mexico, with 54 murders. That's followed by Colombia, Brazil, the Philippines, Nicaragua, and India. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting. And I would point out that tomorrow, a Friday, September 30th, is International Blasphemy Day.
And I'm Dan Barker, and can I say something blasphemous? Blasphemy is a victimless crime.
Well, is that blasphemous? Isn't that just true?
Well, yeah. Well,
I think that you'd have to swear or curse God or something a little more dramatic, Dan.
To assume that
God is dead, something like that. Hail Satan.
Okay, but saying it's victimless is saying there is no God, and that's blasphemous itself, I think. Most of the members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation are atheists and agnostics. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And we're atheists.
This is the September 29th, 2022 edition of Free Thought Radio. Grant Blaschka with Audio for the Arts is our engineer in the Stephen Uhl Friendly Atheist Studio right here in Free Thought Hall in the National Office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which has those two purposes of educating the public, that's you, about non-theism, and serving as the nation's largest association of freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, and so on. And that terribly important purpose of keeping religion out of government, of defending and buttressing the vaunted constitutional principle of separation between religion and government. And it has never been more needed to work for the First Amendment.
As Annie Laurie mentioned, September 30th is International Blasphemy Day. It's observed to coincide with the anniversary of the 2005 publication of satirical drawings of Muhammad in the Danish newspaper Jyllands-Posten, which, if you remember, set off a furor among Muslims.
Yes, and too many killings, too, and violence.
In the second half of today's show, we're going to talk with two outspoken freethinkers. Ray Matthews of Utah is representing FFRF in our 50-state secular vote campaign. His face is on a billboard in Salt Lake City right now, which says, "I am an atheist and I vote." We'll talk with Ray about why he left the Mormon Church to become an atheist.
And then we will chat with Adrienne Martin, who spoke out at her local Texas school board against censorship of books in the name of religion. A very passionate speech there, and she'll be getting FFRF's Strong Backbone Award at our upcoming conference in San Antonio the last weekend of October. And by the way, better make plans now if you want to be part of that. You need to register. We have some space at Overflow Hotels on the right by the Riverwalk there. It's going to be a fantastic conference starting Thursday night with a complimentary reception and an early check-in, and then the whole conference takes two full days, Friday and Saturday. So you can go to our website, FFRF.org, and look for the events and outreach link, and there's all the details you need and registration for the FFRF convention there.
John Irving and Julia Sweeney and Godless Gospel and just a whole offering of blasphemous events.
And some concentration on the issues in Texas, which is sort of a ground zero for so many of these theocratic inroads.
So we will mess with Texas. This week on our Facebook Live video TV show, it's called Ask an Atheist on Facebook Live, three FFRF legal staff talked about an egregious high school state church violation that just happened. FFRF attorneys Ryan Jane and Chris Line were joined by FFRF's new legal fellow, Kat Grant, to discuss an East Baton Rouge, Louisiana high school that invited a religious group to preach to students at a so-called college fair that was held in a church.
During the Ask an Atheist show, Ryan and Chris explained the constitutional harm of a public school promoting religion to students, and then Kat explained the additional physical and psychological harm that resulted from the event.
Yeah, well, these kids were preached to about really, really serious, really potentially triggering topics, especially for students with any kind of trauma. They were talked to about suicide, sexual assault. They were talked to about domestic abuse in a way that very much put the onus on the victim. It was very patriarchal. It was very victim-blaming. These kids could have gone through those things or known people who have gone through those things or simply were not emotionally prepared to handle those types of conversations. And that was just within like the actual planned content of the event. We also have several reports of trans students in particular being viciously bullied. You know, they had water poured on their heads, you know, mopped. Some were prevented from using the bathroom. And none of the adults in the room intervened whatsoever, which was a direct violation, actually, of the school district's own anti-bullying policy, which was something else we noted in our letter. So both in terms of being exposed to content that they may not have been psychologically prepared for, as someone in one of the clips noted, there were no therapists, counselors, you know, anyone who was really qualified for these kids to go to and be like, hey, this was really upsetting. So that can cause a lot of either reoccurring trauma or new trauma for things that they and their parents did not consent to hearing. And I think recognizing that harm is really, really important. Even though sometimes it may not look like really direct harm, it has long-term consequences.
And that whole thing happened in a church. You can watch that Ask an Atheist show that you just heard a part of. You can watch it on FFRF's YouTube channel right now by looking for the Ask an Atheist playlist. You can also tune in to the live show next week at 12 noon Central on FFRF's Facebook page, where you can ask questions during the show.
And on our TV show this week, Free Thought Matters, our guest will be Washington Post contributing columnist and author Kate Cohen, and we have interviewed her here on the radio too. Her new book, We of Little Faith, such a great title, will be out in 2023. We asked Kate to join us on Free Thought Matters because of her poignant column that appeared recently in the Washington Post titled, As the Court Forces Christianity on America, It's Time for Atheists to Speak Out.
And during the show, we asked Kate if she was concerned about putting the word atheist in the title of that Washington Post column.
You know, using the word atheist, it still is a bit of a shock for some people, I think, you know, and people do want to soften that word. I think we should try to reclaim it for what it simply is, which is just not believing that there's a supreme being in charge, which I believe a lot of people, even who call themselves Jews and Christians and Muslims, don't really believe that there's a supreme being up there in charge of things. But yeah, the word atheist still packs a punch.
And she was a lot of fun, and she's still writing lots of great columns. And in fact, just this week, a new column by her came out titled, "I Don't Want Your God in Charge of My Healthcare." Another great title, another great column.
And if you live in one of the 13 cities where Free Thought Matters TV show is broadcast on local TV stations, you can watch that show every Sunday. It's, in most places, it's on Sunday morning. For stations and times, you can check out ffrf.org/freethoughtmatters.
And it's also up on YouTube now. So you can, if you're not, you want to watch it online, it's there to watch. So lots of things going on, a lot of things that are very bad, including we see South Carolina moving to ban abortion. Here in the home state of Wisconsin, where FFRF is located, once again we see extremists in the Wisconsin legislature foiling our Governor Tony Evers' attempts to overturn the state's draconian 1849 abortion ban. In effect, abortion is illegal in the state of Wisconsin, and there's no way for state citizens to get names on garner signatures and force a referendum to be put on a ballot. And the state legislature is controlled by extremists who won't overturn it. So Governor Evers wanted to convene something where the legislature would begin to amend our state constitution to allow for voter initiatives. And the arrogant extremists on the legislature said that although he has the right to have a special session, they're going to disband after a minute. They're not even going to debate something that is affecting so many women's lives here in Wisconsin in such a negative way. So we're second-class citizens, that's for sure.
And, of course, most of the organized, or all of the organized opposition to abortion rights is religious.
And I just have to say, we see the same thing going on in Iran, where we have an autocratic theocratic regime that is completely obsessed with controlling women's bodies, where there you can get killed if you show your hair. It's not such a big difference between that and what's happening in the United States with reproductive rights and demanding that women have no control over their bodies.
Wanting to turn this into a Christian nation. Speaking of Christian nation, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is asking Senator Josh Hawley to apologize for the erroneous and ignorant Christian nationalist rant that he recently delivered to a gullible audience.
We are a revolutionary nation precisely because we are the heirs of the revolution of the Bible. This was a revolution that began with the founding of the nation of Israel at Sinai, that continued with the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth in the days of ancient Rome. Without the Bible, there is no modernity. Without the Bible, there is no America.
That is Missouri Senator Josh Hawley speaking earlier this month before the National Conservative Conference.
And, of course, we wrote him a letter, and we said, you might want to read the secular constitution. It doesn't have any reference to Mount Sinai or Jesus or the Bible. It is entirely godless and such an absurd big lie to promote that there is a God or Jesus in the Bible. We also contacted our members in Missouri so they could contact their senator to disabuse him of this myth that our Constitution is based on God or the Bible or our country is based on it. And then we also have contacted the Tennessee governor, Bill Lee, asking him to rescind his improper and offensive proclamation naming September 30th as a day of prayer, humility, and fasting. And he made, this is a very overreaching proclamation where he says God's sovereignty and the need for God's grace over our state and our nation is needed, that we have to walk humbly with God, seek forgiveness for our many transgressions. And then he says, he's quoting Proverbs saying, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So we pointed out that Thomas Jefferson as president noted that there is no civil authority for the president of the United States to direct the religious exercises of his constituents, nor is there for the governor of Tennessee. And we also pointed out this proclamation is a slap in the face to nonbelievers and to people who can reason, because clearly fear is not the beginning of wisdom. Fear paralyzes you. It is not how you get enlightenment. It needs to be overcome.
I was in Knoxville a couple of weeks ago to speak to the rationalists of East Tennessee in our FFRF chapter, and they pointed out that if you live in Tennessee, you don't have to have "In God We Trust" on your automobile license plate. You can have one that doesn't have the wording on it. So a lot of our members are looking around to see whose cars has it and whose don't. And there are a lot of nonbelievers in that state. Now let's turn to some good news. FFRF is proud to announce the 11 winners and 13 honorable mentions for the 2022 Kenneth L. Pruhl Memorial Essay Contest for ongoing college students. FFRF has paid out a total of $18,350 in award money to this year's contest. They wrote on the topic of "In God I Trust Not." And they wrote personal essays about why they have faith, not in a supernatural deity, but in humanity and in themselves. Winners came from Alabama, Arizona, from University of Ottawa, from Houston, from Long Island, from Louisville, from Pennsylvania, and honorable mentions from all over the country.
And they were very good essays, and they, as always, are reprinted in Free Thought Today, which is our newspaper. It's in the upcoming October issue. And if you're not a member yet of FFRF and you want to read these essays, you can ask for a sample copy of our newspaper to be sent to you, or we can send you a PDF if you go to our Ask for Info link at FFRF.org. These are very, very worth reading.
Yeah, and the younger generation is a lot less generous than, a lot less religious, I'm sorry, than they used to be. And FFRF is a lot more generous now because of members' contributions for this very good cause. So now we're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to talk with Ray Matthews. He's an ex-Mormon whose face is featured on FFRF's "I'm an Atheist and I Vote" billboard in Salt Lake City. And then after that, we're going to speak with Adrienne Martin, the mother who testified before her Texas school board against book censorship. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Geller. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Don Argel, a life member of FFRF and promoter of Real Wellness Lifestyles. I'm no longer willing to say, "In God I trust, so help me God, God bless America," or pretend America is more under a God than any other nation. Join the resistance to Christian nationalism and politicians more attentive to what they think God wants than the needs of their constituents. Let's make separation of church and state a reality and turn back the drift to theocracy. Support FFRF. Our freedom really does depend on freethinkers.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio, and I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and in a few minutes, we're going to speak with Adrienne Martin, who protested school censorship of books in Texas.
And before we hear from her, let's listen to the testimony that Adrienne Martin gave before her school board in Granbury, Texas, on August 22nd, 2022.
We know that books are continuing to be purged. We know student library aides have been banned. We know a group of non-parents have pushed for these book removals and continue to do so. Being a taxpayer does not grant special privileges over students, staff, and parents. I do not want random people with no education background or experience determining what books my child can read, what curriculum they learn, and what clubs they can join. Just because you can get up at every meeting and rant and rave does not give you authority over my child's education. Your personal religious beliefs, people in this room and on this board, should not be affecting my child's education either. Our schools are not to be used for personal political agendas, and our children are here for education, not religious indoctrination. I implore the board to put an end to trying to appease these extremists, focus on retaining staff, providing excellent public education, and a safe and welcoming learning space for all students. The speaker speaking about what great Christians they are, great. Go tell your pastor. Our schools are not your church. Thank you.
So this video kind of went viral, and we reached out to Adrienne Martin, and she's going to be speaking very briefly, getting an award, Strong Backbone Award, at our convention in Texas, where we do have the theme of Do Mess with Texas. And again, you can go and find out information at ffrf.org/convo-2022, or you can go to our website under the events link, because it's full of people like Adrienne, and we're looking forward to shaking her hand. And then we have a little time left, Dan, to talk about your major trip. You just got back from the nation of Colombia. And what were you doing there? Tell us about it.
It's Colombia with an O. A lot of people spell it with a U. I was there for the second annual El Segundo Encuentro Latinoamericano de Libre Pensamiento, the second annual conference of free thought in Latin America. And
you were at the first one, too, in
the
Peru.
First one was in 2018 in Peru, in Arequipa, Peru. And so it's a group of international free thinkers from a lot of different countries. More than a dozen countries come together, and we had to postpone it because of the pandemic. But this year it was in Colombia. And there were speakers from Argentina, from Puerto Rico, from Peru. A number of them came up from Peru, from Colombia, from many other countries, talking about the statuses of free thought and confessional states within the different countries in Latin America, the problems they deal with. Guatemala and other countries are represented as well. And it was fascinating to just listen. They talked about human rights. They talked about women's rights. There were talks by academics about gay rights. There were talks about state church separation, talks about pseudoscience. The scientists giving talks about religion and
so
cults.
You were there, too. You spoke, and so did Hypatia Alexandria from
Hypatia gave a talk about Hispanic American free thinkers. David Tamayo, who's on our board, is the founder and president of Hispanic American Freethinkers. He couldn't go back to this event, but Hypatia Alexandria went, and she gave a great talk about saying, you know, more people speak Spanish in the United States than in the entire country of Colombia. There's, you know, because Hispanic American freethinkers. So she was there. And then at the end of the conference, they found a really nice Yamaha grand piano up on that stage. It was at a theater, a big theater there in downtown Pereira, Colombia, which is over in the coffee country. They call it Eje Cafetero, where most of that Colombian coffee is made. So there was a nice grand piano. I got to perform for about a half an hour before that audience in Spanish and in English.
Oh, did some in Spanish?
You know my song about It's Only Natural? I have a Spanish version of that song, which
How many people were there?
Well, at the beginning, there were students, so there was maybe a couple hundred were there at the beginning, but then it came down after the students were gone. It was maybe about 100 or 80 or so who came to this thing.
And
so.
Then they took some of the participants out to see that it's the Andes Mountain? Or?
Yeah, that's in the Andes, yeah.
You're in the Andes and you went into the mountain.
We went to this valley called Cocora, which is the valley that, after which that Disney movie Encanto is based, with the big tall palm trees and the condors and all that. So we took a tour of that area, which is...
You sent some pictures back, photos back, that for all the world looked like Switzerland. Beautiful green hills, tall hills, and cows with bells on.
Like the Alps, but
yeah,
it's the Andes.
Like the Alps.
Oh, it's beautiful, very high altitude. And then... Then after that, I also went to a separate event in Bogota. There's humanists there in collaboration with the university in Bogota, had a day-long event about humanism and free thought and state separation within the country. There were professors and dignitaries. They started the conference with the Colombian National Anthem, and it ended with me talking about the comparisons between state church separation in the U.S., and in Latin America. So it was a really, and we, FFRF was a co-sponsor of those events.
So that went on for several days last week, and you just got back. So we are going to now talk in a few minutes with Adrian Martin, that we played her testimony. But before that, we're going to speak with Ray Matthews, who's an FFRF member and ex-Mormon, whose face is currently on a big billboard in Salt Lake City saying, "I'm an atheist and I vote." So we're going to learn more about his background when we come back.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at FFRF.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers. Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. Ray Matthews is an active Utah Republican state delegate. He is a retired librarian. He's a former Brigham Young University adjunct faculty and an ex-Latter-day Saints stake high counselor and a member of the bishopric, who worked for 15 years for the LDS Church. He is now an atheist. He's an anti-war activist, an animal rights activist, a poet, and a current volunteer Shakespeare teacher for seniors.
And Ray Matthews also is our Utah representative in FFRF's 50-state secular voters value campaign. And he was in the Salt Lake Tribune in a full-page ad saying that he's an atheist and he votes, and he's up on a billboard in Salt Lake City saying, "I'm an atheist and I vote." So thank you so much for representing FFRF in Utah and there in Salt Lake City, and it's nice to talk with you, Ray.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
So first... there were some states where nobody volunteered. We had to use a generic freethinker in some of the ads. I was so pleased to get your application. Why did this appeal to you? Why were you willing to go public like this?
Well, it was actually a pretty hard decision. I saw the appeals month after month, and no one stepping up. And I thought, well, I've been a closet atheist for many years. I worked for the church for about 15 years, and by the church, I mean the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in the genealogical department or family history department, for about 15 years. And all during that time, I was a very extremely active Mormon. But I also felt I was going to graduate school in history, and also felt it very important that, that we maintain a separation of church and state. And I think my sensitivity to the influence of the church in politics, because I've always been active in politics as well, that influence of the church disappointed me that we were so involved. And so all during that time, and when I taught as an adjunct faculty for the Salt Lake Center for BYU, I was very much a what I would consider a rationalist, a member of the church, but not somebody who really believed most of the doctrine and so on of the church. I've never come out as an atheist up until a month ago.
Wow. I didn't realize that, Ray, because you look so confident and cheerful, jolly in the pictures.
I think so many of us, we don't like to label ourselves, and if we do label ourselves, we have a lot of different ways we think about it. And I don't get up in the morning and say, "Gee, I'm not a Canadian today."
Mm-hmm.
I never think about it. I just think in terms of rational science and rational behavior, natural science, and so it's only when mysticism and superstition invades our public space, and particularly our laws, and change our laws because of superstition, that that's very irritating. And so I'm very comfortable being called an atheist.
Well, when you applied, we had a kind of you could put a paragraph about yourself, and you told me that in graduate school and postgraduate studies, you studied yourself out, first out of Mormonism, then out of Christianity, then out of all religious mysticism. You said, I'm quoting you, "I give credit to Joseph Campbell, Carl Sagan, Jefferson, Madison, Franklin, and numerous historians." So it's been really fun to get to know you through this campaign, and we're really appreciative that you were willing to be so public.
So now the billboard is out public. Have you got any reaction from family, friends, or neighbors?
Oh, yeah. I've received a lot of thumbs up and encouragement from my personal friends. We have a free thinkers group in Sandy, Utah, where I live, and they met yesterday, and they passed around. Someone had a copy of your newsletter, and they passed it around, and were quite excited to see me there. And I've had nothing but positive reaction to it. I'm actually a little disappointed that getting some other opinions, but
well, just as well. I think that's very encouraging. And of course, we will carry some more photographs in Free Thought today. But we've been tweeting out the wonderful photos that you took of yourself underneath the billboard, and with great skill figuring out how to take a good picture with a digital billboard, because it is a digital billboard. And for somebody listening in Salt Lake City, how would they see it?
If you're coming from anywhere in the South of Salt Lake City, you'll generally get off the 6th South off-ramp off of I-15. And so before you get into downtown, about 200 west on the south side of the street, you'll see the digital billboard. So we encourage legislators, if you're coming in from the north, Davis County or Weber County, go down the 6th South, get off, and take a look at the billboard.
Yeah, because this is really aimed at public officials, that we're talking about the 29% of us who are nuns, non-religious, and that we vote and we have great concerns. So we only have a minute left. Ray, I know you have concerns about violations in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, just last night, for example, in Orem, which is just south of us here, the city council met, and the mayor invited his father to speak, and he in his prayer he spoke about the evil being taught in the city schools, and they have a movement there to separate themselves from and create a new school district, and it created quite an outcry. They did an online poll, and 85% of the people were offended by the prayer, and only 10% of the people thought the prayer was appropriate. And we don't publicly say much, but most people are really offended by having prayers in beginning public meetings. It's a clear violation of this establishment clause. If a prayer in a public meeting isn't an establishment of religion, I don't know what is. It's a very clear offense. And most people here in Utah, we're very polite, genteel people. We don't say anything, but we do get offended. And there's no necessity for having prayer in school boards, legislative meetings, committee meetings, city council, county council, and that kind of thing.
Well, yeah. Even a lot of religious people agree with that if you mix religion and government, they both get dirty.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
Then that's really why FFRF, that was the impetus, the practical reason why we started FFRF. It was prayers at our city councils and county boards. But, of course, at the school board level, it's so inappropriate because there shouldn't be any religious ritual in our public schools. So, you know, there should be no religion in the school board meetings. And go ahead.
Oh, and particularly in Utah, because, you know, our state constitution is much more separationist than the federal constitution. We have three major articles in our constitution separating church and state.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, and we're out of time, but thank you so much, Ray Matthews, for representing us so well in Salt Lake City and Utah. We're really grateful.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And then after the break, we're going to speak with Adrienne Martin, a Texan mother who protested religious book censorship before her local school board. You heard her testimony a few minutes ago. It'll be exciting to see what she has to say. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. Adrienne Martin is a lifelong Texan. She's a mother. She is the chair of the Hood County Democratic Party. Adrienne has been fighting book banning, and she's been advocating against discrimination and organizing to promote equality in conservative rural Texas. A few minutes ago, we heard her August 22nd testimony before the Granbury School Board against the promotion of religion, which went viral.
In which Adrienne, as you recall, said, "Our schools are not your church." It was so brave of you, Adrienne Martin, and you'll be receiving FFRF's Strong Backbone Award at our national convention in San Antonio at the end of October, and we're delighted to get a chance to meet you ahead of time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we played that testimony. It was very passionate. What kind of response did you get? What was the blowback?
I was really kind of pleasantly surprised. I didn't get a lot of negative feedback. In fact, multiple Republicans reached out to me and thanked me for what I said. The division and the controversy and the just the overall circus atmosphere of our school board meetings, I think has kind of frustrated many people, including, you know, Republicans and people on the other side of the aisle.
So can you give us some of the background of what led you to this testimony against book censorship?
Well, I think that we would have to talk for maybe a couple hours to get into the whole story. Hood County and Granbury is kind of the tip of the spear when it comes to a lot of the Christian nationalism that we see spreading across the country. So last January, it actually started with the book issues in our school district, and it started with our superintendent. It didn't actually even start with a group of parents or activists. It started with our superintendent, who proactively stated that he was making sure that any obscenity, quote-unquote obscenity, was being removed from our libraries, and that he was going to kind of root out where the books came from and why they were in the schools. And when he made this announcement, there was a lack of transparency about the whole process. And some students came and spoke out at the meeting, and they went viral back last year for some of the things that they said. But what proceeded to happen after that was, I think it kind of got out of his and the board's control, because a group of religious extremists started a campaign to remove more books and more books and more books, and they simply can't be almost stopped.
What kind of books?
Oh, my gosh, it's everything. Strangely enough, it's not really classics. It's mostly modern literature. And it's anything that, you know, has LGBTQ themes in it, anything that even mentions drinking or curse words they have an issue with, this particular group. They've made websites, they've campaigned, and they have a group of, you know, it varies, 15 to 20 people that come to every single school board meeting and get up and speak, and they take over the whole meeting. They're disruptive. There was an issue with threats, and maybe some people were armed. So when I got up to make my speech, that was basically somebody that was entirely fed up.
So
listening to these people month after month.
Yeah. So what's being organized to oppose it?
Well, that's where it's kind of tricky, because we have a board and a superintendent that lack the backbone to stand up to these people. We kind of have a community that there's kind of a lack of support there too, unfortunately. So there have been legal, you know, people have looked into legal remedies. And I think that's continuing. But books are still being removed from our schools to this day.
So, of course, this was something that that Governor Abbott, Texas Governor Abbott, is very much in favor of.
Right, right. And I think it's, you know, it's an election year, and I think that's kind of what it started as, and the overall degrading of our public education system. I think it's all a concerted effort that's going on around the country. And, you know, with Abbott making his statements, it's kind of given, like, our board and our superintendent a pass, you know, to grandstand and claim that there's pornography and obscenity in the school libraries, which, you know, pornography, according to who?
Yeah.
You know, just because something has, you know, a romance scene or LGBTQ kiss, you know, I think most people would agree that that's not pornography.
Well, do they have the Bible in the schools?
They actually do not. Because we looked into that, and in fact, one of the head book burners, what I call them,
yeah,
recently donated a, a, a group of Bibles to the school, and they were rejected. And I think that's because the school kind of knows. They know that they're walking a very fine line, and that a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to what's going on there.
Well, because if you want to talk about sex and obscenity, the Bible is just full of it.
Yeah.
And we have a whole little brochure about the X-rated Bible, and can point people to chapter and verse. So, I guess they are paying attention. I was also wondering whether this is encompassing attacks on the town must have a library too, a public library. Are they just concentrating on the public schools, or are they going after the other the public libraries?
Well, that's an interesting story also, because in 2015, there was a movement led by a woman to remove some LGBTQ children's books from our library, and that made national news in 2015. They were unsuccessful, but this woman got a lot of publicity in like kind of right wing circles, and they ran off our librarian by basically harassing her.
I remember this.
And you know, the interesting part of that is that woman that led that effort is now on our school board. Imagine that.
Wow.
Have you thought about running for school board?
I think that I'm well known enough to never get elected here, but our voting makeup is about 80 to 85% Republican here. But I do have an elected office as the Democratic County Chair. So it's really an uphill battle. We've got a school board election coming up in November. So we'll see what happens, but it could actually get worse, which is pretty scary.
Where is Hood County?
We're about 45 minutes southwest of Fort Worth.
Oh, okay.
And it is a rural county, but it's not, you know, as small as people may think. There's about 70,000 people here.
So Texas is kind of ground zero, or it's the place where so many bad bills and legislation, Christian nationalist legislation, starts off, like SB-8 with abortion. This is now a year after SB-8, which now we see abortion being made illegal in so many other states, including our state of Wisconsin. How are people still campaigning against this? Are people just despairing? What's it like in terms of reproductive rights there?
It's interesting. People are very upset. And it's interesting to me that when SB-8 went into effect, you didn't see the kind of outcry that we're now seeing. I think that maybe people didn't realize how serious it was and where it's going. But I've had many people, including Republican women, tell me that, you know, they're going to be voting Democrat because of what has happened with Roe here in Texas. I think Texas women, Democrat or Republican, expect to have freedom over their own body.
Basic thing, doesn't it?
It does. And people are, I think that that's going to be a big motivating factor in the elections in November.
Well, that's we are, of course, a nonpartisan group, but it's promising to hear that there is going to be a revolution of women, or a revolt of women and people who can get pregnant to try to get our rights back. And we're sorry to hear about the continuing censorship there. And may I ask how old your children are?
My son is 12, and I have a 24-year-old daughter that graduated from school here.
So the 12-year-old is definitely unable to get free use of the library then. What, a sixth grader?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, he's in seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Mm-hmm.
So you're not just some outsider coming to harass the school board. You actually have a child in
I have a stake in it. And that's the other thing that, you know, I mentioned in my speech, is these people that are getting up every school board meeting, not a single one of them has a child in the school district.
Huh. Well, we are so glad you spoke out, and we're really looking forward to meeting you soon at our national convention in Texas. Thank you for persevering there, Adrian.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to meeting y'all too, and thank you for speaking with me today.
Adrian Martin will be receiving FFRF Strong Backbone Award at our convention the end of October in San Antonio. We also want to thank you listeners for listening to Free Thought Today. Listeners in Texas, to Free Thought Radio, that's right. We have a TV show called Free Thought Today. We broadcast in San Marcos, Texas on KZSM. And over in College Station, Bryan, Texas, we broadcast in KEOS. Greetings to listeners there. In Pennsylvania and New Jersey, we broadcast on WOOMLP 92.9. In Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, to WZML. Right here in Madison, Wisconsin, to WIDE and WMUU. And in Janesville, Wisconsin, hello to listeners to WADR Community Radio. In Central Missouri, KOPN in Columbia, Missouri. Way over on the West Coast in Eugene, Oregon, hello to listeners to KEPW 97.3 FM. In Vermont and New Hampshire, right on the border, WOOL Black Sheep Radio. In Kingston, Rhode Island, WRIU 90.3. And then in WRFI in Ithaca and Watkins Glen, New York. Did I miss somebody?
Did you do Texas?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did first.
Right,
okay,
away.
Did them out of order.
Yeah, WRFI in Ithaca and Watkins Glen. And you can find out more. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a thumbs up on your podcast provider and tell your friends and family to find out more about Free Thought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
And you can find out about the new podcast, We Dissent, representing FFRF, AHA, and AA with women attorneys, and ask for more information at ffrf.org. Or you can also phone us at 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.